Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's Word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
Today's Crosswalk is pre-recorded from Truth Set Free. Hey, you guys, it's that time again. Truth Set Free, question and answer. My name's Matt. I'm here with Pastor Steve, coming to you live from Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities. If you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube, just post your questions, prayer requests, praise reports in the comments below. Mike is right over here. He'll send those to me. Love to pray for you, and we'll try our best to get to your question. If not, I save those for the next show. For you guys that are local, I just have our app open right here with our bulletin. There's a bunch of stuff going on. I can't go through all of them. Some things I want to tell you about. One of them is Prophecy Update coming up. That's going to be on January 22nd at 6:30, which is our normal Wednesday night service. A lot of people know about this, but maybe you could just give a brief description of Prophecy Update, why we do that for people that may not have heard or new people.
Well, basically, it's to keep people up on what's going on as far as end times events goes. So all I do is go through passages in the Bible, and usually those passages have to do with Daniel or Book of Revelation, Matthew chapter 24, Ezekiel chapter 38 through 39, passages that deal with end times events, and then go through and not show fulfillments of those things because we're not in those times yet, the sense of we're not in the tribulation period, but the fact that we're coming up on that, you can see these kind of these precursors to the things that have to take place during the tribulation period, the things that are prophesied in the Bible. And so basically just taking the prophetic passages in the Bible and comparing them to modern day events, you know, literally headlines. And so I'm in the process of putting that together, and I'm already out of date.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and so.
Okay, so not to make this a whole thing, but yeah. I think last year you did a little bit talking about AI.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because now the whole world, it's like front and center. We're talking about AI. I'm even using it to do some ministry stuff as far as, hey, design me this chart for the Book of Daniel, and it helps me to put it together in a very quick way, and I'm mainly just experimenting that. But did you ever think we'd get to this point as far as you being a prophecy buff and watching this stuff come together, that in 2025 we would be down the road where we are now that matches it up in such a way?
Did I think? Yeah, well, obviously I think that because I believe in the prophecy. As far as AI goes, AI is one of those things that obviously just came out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
In the sense that you don't have specific passages that predict AI that I would ever go, that's something that's going to come to pass. But the reason I put AI in last year's prophecy update is because of the danger of it. And you have basically guys who are futurists, and these are guys who go through and look at technology and predict what's going to take place. And one of those things is what's called the singularity, basically where mankind becomes digitized. You know, it would start off with, you know, kind of a cyborg situation in which you hook up basically computer systems to your brain. And ultimately, it would lead to, you know, radical AI guys and futurists say that it would literally lead to eternal life and people would never die. You've got some other things, practically speaking, that are about to take place that are going to change the human body in the sense that some of the really cool things about AI have to do with health benefits, that kind of stuff. What AI is really good at is taking large amounts of information and going through and basically scanning it and bringing it together in a way that's cohesive. And one of the fallbacks of AI right at this point is where the information comes from. And so right now, when you're talking about ChatGPT and some of the AIs that you have online, they're getting their information from the internet. And so we know what's wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of information on the internet that's not factual.
Well, that's what I was thinking of in my question, is that when you look at a one world government, a dictator, somebody who controls your life, what you buy and sell,
right,
who you worship, it's like AI checks a box that, like you said, it just kind of popped up on the scene, surprised everybody. But it has the technology to fulfill all those on a more literal level than I ever imagined.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when you're talking about, you know, when you're talking about what the Bible teaches about the last days, for example, specifically with the mark of the beast, it talks about the fact that it's going to be a cashless type of situation, that you're not going to buy and sell as normal, and that it is going to be universal. And so that means worldwide. It's universal. Everybody has to take a mark in their right hand or their forehead. They can't buy or sell without that. And so you're basically looking at something that is a cashless society, because you could buy or sell without a mark if you have cash.
Right.
And so that's where the cashless thing comes in. And so if I don't have a mark, you can have an underground economy where you can buy and sell without cash. And so it has to be something that is universal in that sense. And so that's digital. And then on top of that, you have to be able to basically oversee that. And so you have to know what the transactions are, where they're taking place, who's making the transactions. And so there has to be this interconnectivity, and it's got to be real time for this whole thing to work out.
Right.
And that's where AI comes in.
Yep.
Because obviously we have lots of information. We don't have the ability to scan that information real time, mm-hmm, and make all the judgment calls and put all that information together in a way that a computer can. And when you've got a computer that's mimicking human intelligence, then it becomes all that more radical a tool in that situation. And it can be radically a good thing.
Yeah.
So they're already talking about AI being used to basically diagnose diseases. So AI looking at mammograms has a 94% accuracy rate in predicting cancer. And doctors don't have that. And so basically the reason that it's like that is because AI can take a normal mammogram and compare it to what it's seeing and see all of the distinctions, all the differences, and even see it on scales that a human eye can't see it. And so when you're talking about diagnostics in the medical field, they're using AI for this, and it's bringing that back just really radical results. They just did a thing with rocketry. There's what's called an aerospike engine. It's been, you know, kind of the holy grail of rocketry since basically the 60s. And when you have rockets that take off, they have to have more than one stage, and the reason is because the atmosphere gets thinner. And so there's going to be a launch of SpaceX is going to do a launch tomorrow, so it's a great time to go through and check this out. When you watch a launch of a rocket, basically at the very beginning of the launch, the exhaust is coming straight out of the bottom of the rocket, and as it goes higher, it starts pluming out more and more. And anytime that you have the exhaust from a rocket pluming out, it's not pushing the rocket anymore. And so what they have to do is they have to change the nozzle on the rocket, and that's why you have another stage.
Okay.
So you have a rocket exhaust, or basically a rocket bell that's designed for in the atmosphere, and then you have another bell that's designed for in a vacuum. And so you have to have at least two stages if you're going to effectively get a rocket to outer space or to orbit. And one of the ways that you could do that is you could make a rocket that actually morphs as it's going up. And so that's what this type of rocket would be. And it took NASA decades to design it, and AI did it in 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And then on top of it, they took its design and they used a 3D printer to make the rocket, and the AI did that exactly. They tested it, and it actually worked.
Wow.
And so then after the fact, they came in and they started cutting up, because a 3D printer's basically putting it all together. It doesn't have necessarily parts that you're putting together. It's making it basically one block rocket. And so they had to cut it open to examine the insides to see how this whole thing worked. And
that's amazing.
They're learning from AI, basically.
So with that, you know, when you have the spiritual realm and Satan being able to do things that are obviously spiritual that man can't accomplish, what a perfect cohort to be able to disguise or use spiritual realm for a physical reality as far as explaining it. Because a lot of the stuff of, well, when that rapture happens, how do you explain all these people going off and whatever? With a propaganda machine as far as AI goes, you're giving him the tools to be able to more easily, you know, when you're answering these questions, fill those gaps of how is this going to happen. AI plays a role in that.
Yeah, the other thing that you have with AI is being able to identify people. So they're using it right now with facial recognition.
I know. When I went to the airport last time, they're like, hey, look into this thing. I'm like, no, thanks.
Yeah.
Because I saw over on the side that it was optional.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you don't want to do that? And I'm like, no, thanks.
Yeah. And so again, what AI is really good at is taking a bunch of information and putting it together and making decisions based off all of that information. So if you have all these faces with all these dimensions and things like that, and just imagine taking a bunch of pictures and trying to put together a bunch of pictures to identify somebody. We do that routinely in law enforcement, and AI can do it almost instantaneously with whatever database you want to use. And so they can find people quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, again, that can be a really good thing until you get somebody who's tweaked in control of it.
Right.
And, when you're talking about, you got some other things that are coming up, nanotechnology. That's another thing that I talked about last year.
Yeah.
And combining nanotechnology with AI. And so now you got to, what nanotechnology is all about is making small robots, basically. And so they're talking about using these for health issues, you know, delivery systems to kill off cancer. And they're already doing they've been doing experiments on this since the mid-2000s and really coming along. And the deal with that is when you combine nanotechnology with AI, then you start getting things that are very, very frightening.
That's like Ant-Man come to life as far as being able to have these minuscule machines that can do stuff and you can't see them, but they're attached to technology. And
one of the things that they're looking at is self-replicating nanobots. And so that means that they take from the environment, say carbon, they take carbon from the environment and they use it to build new nanobots. And so you can do that with a bodily system. This is some of the things that they're looking at. You can put in a couple of nanobots, or you know, a few of them, into the bloodstream. They can take materials from the bloodstream, build more nanobots, and just wipe out tumors and wipe out, you know, just do things that are pretty awesome. And again, when you're looking at that, that's a great thing, depending on who's using it and what they're doing with it.
Right.
And so lots of really exciting things that can be happening with AI and nanotechnology and that kind of stuff. And it's also a world-ending tech.
Yeah.
One of the scary things about this is that when you're talking about AI and you're talking about nanotechnology, you're talking about technology that will be available to anyone. It's not technology that's only available to rocket scientists and physicists and governments.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that, because I just had downloaded a thing last week to experiment with, and I'm like, can I use this? Like, is it copyrighted? And what I found out was, because I had paid for a service, whatever that thing pumped out, I'm free to use, because that is a unique thing that basically is mine, because IA just, you know, no one has copyrights to it. And so it opens the door to so many crazy things that change the fabric of society that it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. The other thing about it, again, is with the ability to control people. one of the things that you can do with AI is you can make images, right? Mm-hmm. And so you can make images of anything that you want. You can make an image of Donald Trump doing something.
Right.
You can make a video.
Which is a propaganda war machine.
Right, exactly. And so it used to be, you know, a picture paints 1,000 words. And, you know, if you can see it, you can believe it.
Yeah.
And now it's not like that anymore.
Yeah, there was a guy that ran a car into a barricade on the Canadian border. And when it first came out, it was so, you know, the car was like flying and whatever, the way that he rammed the gate, whatever. And what people were saying was like, is this real or is this AI?
Yeah,
because it was almost unbelievable. But they're like, you can't really tell nowadays. How do we? We got to figure this out.
I just saw a video this morning of a car driving down a freeway, and it just pops up into the air and crumples, and there's nothing there. And obviously, it was something that was done by AI. Mm-hmm. So they took the video and they edited out whatever that guy ran into, whether it was another car, whether it was a some kind of barrier or whatever, and edited that out, and it looks like he's just driving along, and all of a sudden, boom, into the air, and the car's half crumpled.
Wild.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. How's that for an intro? So if you're not excited for Prophecy Update, I don't know what else to do for you. So yeah. I'll leave it there. You can download our app. There's a bunch of stuff going on, some classes coming up. I encourage you to check it out. All right. I already talked about this, but go ahead and check out our email, crosswalkradio@gmail.com. You guys can leave a voicemail or text 707-872-7677. All right, let's get into some questions here. Here's what was supposed to be my first one for today. Can you explain how a family is supposed to find a church, and how do you distinguish between something you may not like about the fellowship versus what the Bible actually says about church? I see a lot of families try out, in quotation marks, churches, but they never seem to get plugged in and end up back where they were and not in fellowship.
Well, you know what? I think that one of the first things that needs to happen with people is they need to understand that church is not something that's optional. And so we have kind of a consumer mentality when we come to the issues of church. And that is not how God has designed this whole thing. The Bible talks about the fact that we need to be in fellowship one with another. And so Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23 and 24 specifically talk about that. Oh, you know what? It's not chapter 12, it's chapter 10. I always do that. It says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. I said 23 and 24. I meant 24 and 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so it's not optional. This is a command. And so we need to be in fellowship. One of the things I like to share with people is that Jesus was in fellowship. When you look at the beginning of Jesus's ministry in Luke chapter 4, it says that he was in the synagogue on the Sabbath, as was his custom. And so if there's anybody who could be picky about church, it's Jesus. He wasn't going there to get a Bible study, because he's the one who wrote it all. You know, he was there for a purpose, and he was there to minister to people, and he was there to encourage people, and frankly to be encouraged by the word of God. And so even Jesus could do that, be encouraged by the word of God.
Okay, I always think of the rabbi that would have been given that Bible study to God.
Yeah, can you imagine? Can you imagine being the rabbi who is teaching Jesus, and later on you get saved?
Yeah, yeah, and you realize what just went down. What a mind trip!
Yeah, really, really cool. In any case, it's not optional. And so people who end up going back to where they were and not in fellowship are treating it as optional. Okay,
can you speak to this, where we're at as far as people will say, well, I can do this fellowship thing that you just mentioned at home watching YouTube, I can do it with my own family, I can do fellowship.
Well, no, you can't, because fellowship is the idea of a body coming together.
So can you explain that a little bit then?
Well, but the Bible talks about the church being the body of Christ. And when you're talking about the church, you are talking about a number of different things. You're talking about the church universal, which includes all believers down through the ages. You're talking about the church universal and the church on the earth at any one time. And so our church is not the only church, and it's not the only church that's on the earth at this point in time. We're part of a bigger body of Christ, and then you have the local church. And the local church is spoken about over and over in the New Testament, and that is where Christians are supposed to be plugging in. And that's where you become part of the body of Christ. If you're off by yourself, basically, that's kind of, you know, the picture is like a body. And so here I am, I have a body. Jesus is the head, the Bible says, and we're all members. And so these are members. And so if I split myself off from the rest of the body of Christ, it's like taking my finger, my little finger, and it just goes off on its own somewhere. And, you know, it's just wandering around all by itself. You have a finger that's wandering around all by itself? This is called food for any predator, like Satan goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And that's why Christians get weird, and that's why Christians get destroyed when they stop being in fellowship. Mm-hmm. And so that is not a good idea, and it's disobedient to the word. The word koinonia means, it's the idea, again, of having a commonality with a group of people. Ecclesia is an assembly, and the assembly is never just your family, unless you're stuck on a desert island someplace. And if you're not, then, you know, it's one of those things where you have to get over yourself, and you have to go out and hang out with other people. And you're not getting fellowship by watching a screen. You may be getting teaching, but you're not getting fellowship. And you are not part of the body in that sense when you're watching a screen. And so I understand when people don't have options in the sense that maybe they're sick and at home and they can't get up and get out of bed. Obviously, that is something that God is okay with. You're in that situation. There's not a lot you can do about it. But deciding that you're going to make that the end all of your relationship with the body of Christ is unbiblical. And so you got to be able to get in fellowship. Now, having said that, there are things that you want to be looking for when you're looking for a fellowship. And these are pretty simple things. Acts chapter 2, in verses 42 through the end of the passage, it says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And so that's the word of God. And so you need to be going to a church that actually teaches the Bible. And when I say actually teaches the Bible, it's actually teaching the Bible, not teaching about the Bible or teaching parts of the Bible. It's actually teaching the Bible. Paul in Acts chapter 20 said that he declared to the Ephesian church, he administered to them for 3 years. He declared to the Ephesian church that he had given them the whole counsel of God. And that's the idea, going through the Bible verse by verse and looking at what it actually says. And so there's what's called eisegesis, there's what's called exegesis, and exegesis is what the Bible speaks about as far as teaching. That's the idea that I go to a passage and I let the passage speak for itself and then I apply it, okay? And so for you to do that, you have to go to a passage, not a verse. And there are times when that's okay, when you want to dig in a little bit more. But generally speaking, when you're talking about any of the books, specifically in the New Testament, you're talking about letters. These are letters. And you read a book like you read a letter. And nobody reads a letter by opening it up and going to the middle of it, the middle page, starting there, and then going back to the front page, and then going to the end, and, you know, just skipping around, or reading one paragraph and being good with that. When you're reading a letter, you want to start at the beginning and you want to go all the way to the end so that you can get the author's point of writing to you.
That's all the time we have for today. If you have questions for Pastor Steve, please email me at crosswalkradio@gmail.com, or you can leave a voicemail or text message to 707-872-7677. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We also meet at 6 p.m. Sundays and 6:30 p.m. Wednesdays in our sanctuary. We hope you've been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk. My King is come.